Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Honored to be here with Daniel Lim. Honored.
All right. So, Ed, this is episode 583.
Dang. That's a lot of episodes. That's a lot of time for Daniel Lim to have to put up with Ed Stetzer. That's a lot of time.
Well, it's, I mean, Philippians 2 says, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. So you just help with that.
There you go. Wow. Wow. I give you the opportunity to trust the Lord and be sanctified. I'm happy to be a part of your sanctification. I like it.
Oh, awesome. Well, you know what? Over these 583 episodes, it's always interesting to see
Over these 583 long, painful episodes.
Long winter nights.
Exactly. Through the cold, harsh world.
Yes. It's always interesting to see which episodes are the most popular and which are the ones that get listened to the least. But what's so interesting is if we were just to go back to when we started, years ago when we recorded in person. Do you remember? We were in the old Lifeway building.
Oh, they blew that thing up. They literally blew it to the ground.
Yeah. You were in, were you in Sullivan Tower or in DCT?
I think Sullivan Tower. I was in Sullivan Tower. That's right.
Yeah.
In the old Sullivan Tower.
Right at the top.
Crickety,
the penthouse view.
Well, I don't know. Did I? I don't even remember. I was on the first floor. Then we have the offices of the ELT were on the first floor. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But then at one point you were at the top, weren't you?
I was at one point at the top. That is true. But it was not the top. It was the top of a building that was unheated in the corner with crickety windows. I got hit by a tornado. So the top isn't as glamorous as he's making it sound.
Yeah. So, but I remember we had all our podcasting equipment in this little Pelican case and I'd drag
so
it
crazy. It's so true,
through man. Down my, cause I was in a different tower, down that tower, across the hallway, up another tower, set it up in your office. And now
you make it sound like you trekked 5 miles in the snow. It was literally,
it was long. It was at least a 10 minute
building.
No, it was at least a 10-minute walk, though.
Oh, my gosh. Whatever. Of course, now, again, remind everyone, those buildings have now been blown up, to smithereens. They don't exist
That's
anymore.
That's right.
And I think they're building, neither of us live in Nashville anymore, but I think they're building, like, that building's probably mostly built at this point. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I think it's Amazon. So
crazy. which is symbolic in so many ways. So,
yes. Anyway. Yeah. So when I remember back to those days, I actually looked at some of our first few episodes and thought it'd be fun to do a throwback. So what we're going to do is actually answer the question that was posed to us on the very first episode.
The very first episode. That is interesting. I'm actually looking right now online to see how that building's going, seeing what they're building that building. So it's coming along. It's coming along. All right, good. The very first episode. Dun, dun, yeah, dun, dun.
Very first episode. And what you can do
was it what if is you are, the airspeed of an unladen swallow.
You did say that multiple times. So if you're like a diehard podcast listener, I don't even think you can listen to the first episode on iTunes.
Oh, is that
you have
right?
to actually go to the newchurches.com website, but you can scroll back, listen to episode one and see how our answers compare. But here it is. All right.
You should like link it in the show notes though, so people can actually compare.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good idea. Right, we'll do that. Good. All right. So here's the question. As a young church planter, what are some blind spots that I need to be aware of?
I'm still a young church planter. Wait, there's a blind spot right there. The lack of awareness of not being a young church planter is definitely a blind spot. Did you listen to the answer we gave 100 years ago?
No, I didn't want this to be biased.
Bias this. Yeah. Right. So what would you want a young church planter to know? Would say it again. How'd you phrase it?
As a young church planner, what are some blind spots that I need to be aware of?
Oh gosh, blind spots. How many? I mean, how much time do you have? There are 400 episodes of Ed Stetzer's blind spots. We could go on and on and on forever. But as a young church planner, I would say one of the big blind spots was something that later our mutual friend Sean Lovejoy gave me language for, is that church planners get drunk with the vision. Now, here's what'd be interesting. If you go back and listen, if I said that before, I'm going to be like, score for the win.
have said that before. I don't know if it was on episode one, though.
But I think that's a key blind spot, is that you get obsessed with the vision and you forget a lot of other things. And so what would happen is it's more, I mean, to mix the metaphors here, maybe tunnel blindness, you know, tunnel blindness is where, you know, tunnel vision, where you sort of just focus in. And so I was so focused, and I thank the Lord for this focus on reaching people for Jesus, on planning a church, that the tunnel vision might cause me to neglect my family. Certainly did. Donna would tell me decade plus later. So, you know, when we're planning a church, it's really hard on our marriage because you get super focused on that. So that was, and you know, and so one of the things that that Sean Lovejoy helped me to put language on was the idea of being drunk about the vision. Is a church planner comes home from this conference and he's just so filled with, I got to do this. I'm gonna change the world for Jesus. We're gonna plant a church. We're gonna reach people. And that, you know, I come home to Donna and she's kind of like, well, where are we going to live? And I'm like, oh, but the Lord, he was calling us to plant this church. So I would say that blindness was tunnel vision. But that would be one. I'm guessing you might have observed others. What would be some things you would put in that?
Okay. So I don't know how to say this.
Did you not like my answer?
No, that was good. That was good. I just don't know how to say what I'm about to say that doesn't insinuate that you're old.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I embrace it. I'm not a 20-year-old church planner anymore.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So when we filmed Essential Church Planning, do you remember one of the courses, one of the sessions that you had done was what you learned after, what was it, 25 or 30 years of church planting?
Yeah, it had to and be, what, if we did it, Essential Church Planning, what is that? Is that like, how many years old is that?
Yeah, it's probably about 4 or 5 years old.
Okay, so four or five years old. So that would be 25 years of church planning, I would guess at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. So the reason I bring that up is if you're a young church planner, you are digesting what's written today, what's being spoken on about today. A lot of what the conversation is about today is going to highly influence how you're going to lead. And thus, maybe today that wouldn't be a blind spot anymore because everyone's teaching on it.
Oh, that's interesting.
But, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, people weren't. And because of that, they were those blind spots. So I just kind of think back to our episode one. And if we think, what was that, 2015 or something like that, or 2016, what hadn't yet happened? And we know over the course of the last several decades, there have been scandals and there have been suicides and there have been a lot of different, you know, adultery and different things that have happened with church planners and pastors. But in the last 3 to 4 years, I don't know if it's just because social media and we're just more aware of that, but it seems like today pastoral health and family health and the health of a pastor just seems to be talked about so much more. Now, I might be completely wrong, but I mean, do you like where was that conversation 10 years ago?
Yeah, it's a good. I mean, it's hard to put the time stamp on
for
that.
Sure.
I would say people were talking about that. I mean, I think the failure of pastors, church planners, Christian leaders to care for themselves and their family is an ongoing, perhaps, problem for as long as people have been doing these things. So I think if you went back to read literature 200 years ago, that would say those things. So, I think those are the kinds of things that feel eternally problematic because of the nature of people. I think that some things might be, you know, some things might be more temporal. Like, for example, you know, I planted my second church, not the first church, but the second church. I really was super enamored with, with methods and models. I think that would be,
Year was that?
I planted first church in 88 and then second church in 94.
Okay. So that's like full on church growth.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's actually technically, I would say that's the tail end of the church growth movement, the rise of the church health movement, but I'm writing a book on that. So you have to forgive me for the specificity. So I would say, that so very much so, you know, again, and so still, you know, I'm at the time of this recording, I'm preaching at Saddleback this weekend. So we still have that relationship with the Warrens and Saddleback. But I would say mid-90s, I was super paradigm and focused. You know, we're going to plant like this. And what I would say is I lacked some of the, I wouldn't even say missiological sophistication. I certainly lacked the missiological sophistication, but I don't think you even have to have a whole lot of missiological sophistication. I just really was copying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think the copying was, you know, because again, you know, I wanted to be Rick Warren and, you know, and people, you know, people would tease me about this years later. Micah Fries once made a joke. I was wearing, I don't even know, I was wearing a Hawaiian shirt at something years ago. And he says, oh, that's the Rick Warren starter kit, you know, and it's kind of, so, and I get it. I'm pretty happy. You know, I dedicated my
last. That's what you get in your purpose driven kit.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. But I, you know, I dedicated my last book to Rick Warren. So I'm super, I'm super grateful and friends.
Oh, totally.
But I would say that being in Erie, Pennsylvania, where there's 10 feet of snow per year, wearing a Hawaiian shirt with and shoes without socks showed more of my immaturity, my missiological unsophistication than, but a passion to reach people. So I would say then, so the contrast, the two, I think the kind of the personal and family health issue is a forever thing.
Yeah.
But the model focus, I mean, I would say the models may have changed. I still think a lot of church planners plan a church in their head rather than in their community. They read a book or they go to a conference and they want to do it like that. And rather than really loving their community and planning a church that reaches people there.
Okay, that's interesting, because even as I reflect on the past several years of church planting training literature out there and how many of our friends in different denominations are training their church planters, there definitely is this sense toward contextualization and to reaching your city and what does that look like? And yeah, it might not be this is the way that you have to do it. Here are, but there still are several ways of among, hey, choose one of these or put together, especially during the prospectus building process. So that is interesting reflecting back on that. But Ed, you know, you've been leading, I mean, out of the Billy Graham Center, this resilient church leadership. I mean, you guys have been pouring so much energy into that, right? Is it resilientchurchleadership.com?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys have been actively, and there's, I remember to the Lilly study done several years ago. I forget which of the seminaries, it must have been Covenant and another one that had done some work around this kind of resilient pastor model. But I mean, you guys, that was like one study, right? You guys have been putting so much energy and effort to it. Do you think that's going to turn the tide on that spiritual health, family health moving forward for future church planners?
It's a good question. Here's what I would say. I don't think it'll turn the tide, but it'll turn the tide for some.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I think ultimately this is kind of a big thing. You know, but again, this has been an issue a long time. You know, one of the our March, mid-March guest was, you know, G. Gordon McDonald. I mean, gee whiz. Yeah, I mean, how long has he been talking about those things as
yeah.
well?
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. That's true.
Yeah. So I think you know, we kind of, you know, we walk through these conversations because they do matter, but I think ultimately there's not a solving to it because people continue to fail. But I think we're in a season now where people are maybe seeing more of it. So, and it is resilientchurchleadership.com. I typed it in just to be sure. So people see more of it. I would also say too, I'm not sure there are more pastoral failures now. People ask me that all the time.
Yeah.
Because I just think we know about them more.
Yeah.
Could there be more? Yeah. Here's where I think there will be more. And one of the reasons we launched Resilient Church Leadership in partnership with Church United, the National Christian Foundation, South Florida, several different ministries, we launched it because the pandemic. Well, I mean, some of them were doing these things together. We just launched it on our platform because the pandemic is killing pastors. And I don't say that lightly. I don't use that word unintentionally, but the pandemic is killing pastors and it's wounding others. And I think that, I mean, I can't tell you, and it's not just a pandemic, it's 2020. And by the way, just so you know, we're not recording this in 2020, but 2020 started this and it continues in 2021 because it's the tension of leadership. It's how do we deal with racial injustice? What do we say or not say without getting people yelling at us? How do we deal with the pandemic masks? I mean, how many churches are having battles over masks?
No.
And
yes,
and pastors are kind of like, I'm done with this. And
yeah,
I had a conversation with a pastor. I mean, you know his name actually. And he said, you know, I spent my life defending evangelicals because I am one and I'm part of this thing. And I said, no, they're not these, you know, crazy fringe people. And he says, I can't say that anymore. I mean, I think some of the fringe has become the mainstream and more. So what we're concerned about is a whole lot of pastors, well, are going to leave the ministry, maybe for reasons that they shouldn't be. And I think ultimately we'd like to rescue some people. So last, I know I'm going long. But, you know, it's kind of the whole thing about the starfish, you know, dad says to the kids trying to save all the starfish and And, you know, and I can't, I remember it was the kid or the dad, I don't remember, but the kid's trying to save all starfish. And then the dad says, you can't save them all. And he says, well, I can save this one. And I would say that we're trying to save as many pastors as we can from burnout. And that burnout hurts not just them, but their families. It hurts their churches, hurts the gospel cause. So we think ultimately that makes a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, if you want to review or kind of compare, well, we said, because I know this is very, this was very different than what we talked about on episode one. You can go back and listen to that, and we'll make sure that the link to it is in the show notes. Well, thank you so much for listening into today's podcast, and we'll catch you next time.